so now we're going to have the public hearing. John Kelman, the hearing officer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, for those listening, John Kotelnik, Senior Staff Attorney for PMG Parks. I ask that typically how we've been running these is having you email Rachel Comez if you wish to speak. I know we've received some already, so I'll address those first. Just a reminder, there's 3 minutes on the clock to give your testimony. And before giving your testimony, please state your name and where you're from and what the subject matter you're speaking on. For finalizations this month, we only have one, and that is the state number 13 State Park Modern Cabin Fees and Cancellation Policy. I did not have anyone email Rachel wishing to speak on that. That being said, though, is there anyone on the Zoom call that wishes to speak on action item number 13, the finalization of State Park Modern Cabin Fees? Hearing none, that concludes the public vote. Ms. Hilding, would you like to comment on the State Park Modern Cabin Fees?
No, I want the open forum.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Chair, not hearing any individuals wishing to speak on the finalization, that concludes the public hearing portion.
All right, thank you. Then I'll move to the open forum.
Okay, we're moving into the open forum. I have a couple of individuals who identified themselves as wishing to speak. Is Chris Hesla available?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, so you can state your name, where you're from, and I believe you had some documents that Chris Hull is going to screen share.
Okay. Okay, the first one there is, I'll have Chris share, and then Zach Tunkey is going to comment afterwards on the second one, so thank you. I'm not going to talk about anything that you're reading up here. I'm just going to talk off the cuff here. Fruit-bearing trees are good for everything in the living world, and I also want to bring forward some or say something that with what I'm going to talk about here in the next few minutes, it's kind of nice to have a non-controversial type item or something come up. Hopefully the commission agrees with it and the department does too. It's kind of nice to bring something fun forward and something that we are not going to hopefully argue over or anything. Apples and fruit-bearing trees, they are great for wildlife feeding and cover in the brush and shrub varieties. Non-game species rely on them for nesting, feeding, and winter cover. Pollinators and butterflies rely on them for food and also reproductive areas for their eggs. Since myself and SCWF started our Johnny Appleseed Crusade here a couple weeks ago, I have discovered that the Wildlife Division has been using some in their plantings, the fruit trees and that. I want to thank them for that and encourage them to expand the use of them to include some apple pear fruit trees that attract the humans in the fall, along with their families who still share an art of making apple pies and jellies and things like that. Some of the best moments I have, memories of my mom I have, is teaching me those crafts and us going out after the fruits. We'd also like to see bur oak considered in the plantings. Just a personal note, you could stop planting Russian olive trees. I don't care for them overall. I know they're good for wildlife, but for hunting around and that, they almost become an invasive species. And I'd like to support the wildlife staff as they've been doing and challenging them with the new habitat money coming, make us all proud of our habitats on our public lands. 15 years or so ago, the Corps of Engineers transferred their lake line ownership and the ownership of many campgrounds to the state of South Dakota. Since that time, I want to commend Scott Simpson and his employees, along with the past employees of the Parks Division. They've done a wonderful job in our campgrounds. At the same time obtaining campgrounds, we also inherited a lot of lake take lines that include a lot of shelter belts. When South Dakota took over the ownership, it was not an easy fight in the federal legislature, and I want to thank Senator Daschle and his staff for working so hard to make that happen. When that transfer went through, money came to... Monies were also sh- shared with the state for taking care of the shelter belts net. The campgrounds, as I said, look great and are full. I commend the staff. I am concerned with the adjoining shelter belts and habitats perhaps haven't been getting the same attention as the campgrounds themselves. I'm only going to focus on the ones I know and live within sight of. I'm talking about Spring Creek, Cow Creek, Okoboji, Sully Flats, around the powerhouse and Farm Island. Each one of these areas have shelter belts of the core planted in the early 60s or late 60s, early 70s, and many of them have seen minimal maintenance or none at all. These shelter belts are full of dead trees and need some TLC to rejuvenate and to flourish into what they can be and should be. I urge the parks or wildlife, whomever is in charge of these shelter belts and public hunting areas, to get these areas into your future plans. And when rebuilding them, please consider planting more shrubs so wildlife, pollinators, and any humans who want to hunt and pick their bountiful harvest can share some other traditions our parents taught us. South Dakota Wildlife Federation did not come to complain or be critical about anybody's work and efforts to date. We just want to bring attention to a subject that I think we as an outdoor organization, as conservationists, you as commissioners, and...
Mr. Heslop, can you hear me? Okay. Can I ask you to wrap up your testimony, please? Oh, you're going to have to unmute your mic, too.
Wow. How long have I been muted for?
Just now. No, we heard it all. Come over. No, sir.
Sorry, the technical difficulty. You couldn't hear me while you were speaking, so I tried to get
you. Oh, okay. I was going to say, man, I've been sitting here reading this, and nobody's heard it. Let me finish up with one short paragraph. I enjoy watching birds and pollinators doing their thing. Nothing is better than your dog going through a plum thicket and it explodes with pheasants or sitting in your tree stand next to where turkeys and deer are feeding on the apples. Next best thing is seeing a family carrying a ladder into the shelter belt to harvest choke cherries, apples, wild plums, and I know while enjoying their fruit harvest, they also harvested jiggers, ticks, and maybe poison ivy. These are the memories I want to leave you with today. I ask you to support more fruit trees and consider the bur oak in all of our public lands habitats. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hesla. Next on my list, I have Mr. Zach Hunke from Watertown.
Thank you, Chair, members of the commission. Oh, Mr. Hepler. I talked to Chris a little bit about this subject quite a while ago, and it certainly inspired me. I think there's a lot of private plantings and individuals around here, preserves around my neck of the woods in Watertown, and it does an absolutely fantastic job for the wildlife. Certainly when you drive around those areas that have a lot of these bushes, fruits, and trees, it just holds a lot more. And I just would like to voice my support to what Chris has presented to you. Luckily, I live right next to the Big Sioux Tree Nursery here in, just north of Watertown, and I talked to their executive director for quite a while, and he said that the benefits of increasing these types of plantings could be substantial for the public and the wildlife that we go after as far as sporting is concerned. So that's all I had. I thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, Mr. Hunke. Next on my list is Robin Lacey out of Hot Springs, South Dakota. Robin, are you out there? Yeah, maybe we'll be dropping in a few more minutes. Ms. Hilding.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Okay, so are you timing me for 3 minutes?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
Could you let me know when I get to, like, an extra minute? Okay, I'm going to talk real quick on three things. I'm for Prairie Hills Audubon Society. We support Tom Marquardt's request for transportation access across the non-meandered slough. And we request also that Game Fish and Parks, 3 years later, finally gets around to promulgating rules pursuant to South Dakota Codified Law 31-23-16. You're supposed to have made some rules so he can petition through those rules. Okay, then Steve Karkus has a petition to get a variance on bringing in bobcat carcasses, maybe just the lower jaw. We're opposed to that. We think you need the carcass for information about the species, especially East River, where you just started expanded the hunting season. We also would very much like for the commission to have a presentation from Chad Lehman on how he calculates the abundance estimates. I went back and I found the last discussion was September 2018, and there was not, that I could find, there was no discussion then of how abundance was being calculated. You weren't even doing it back then. There was no discussion in September. And you also consider having a bobcat management plan. But we would very much like to know how the population abundance is being calculated. All right, so now I'm getting on to my main topic, which is about the biennial review and the status review. That was actually on the agenda as an information item, as a status review in July and in September, and it was in the commission book. But the status review or the biennial review, whatever you want to call it, was not. Am I at 1 minute?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So we exchanged information with John, and we're told it was likely going to have a comment period with a deadline and or action by the commission, maybe in November. I didn't tell our members about it because I thought that there would be a comment period. We would like a comment period on the biennial review and the status review. We care very much about T&E. You have all of these management plans that you're doing with people can comment on it, and we should be allowed to comment on, and it should be posted in some easy-to-find place, not telling people they have to find Commission Book 3, go to page 45 or whatever. We expressed concern for you not proposing any species to be listed in a very long time. I think the last time was Dakota Skipper. I referenced a chart about the lake chub. The lake chub started going to hell, excuse my language, in 1999 to 55. All right, okay. The Poshete Skipperling went extinct and extirpated in South Dakota in 2009. We say that there's been four petitions to list as a distinct population segment species in the Black Hills because we were once connected to Canada and the boreal forests, and we've become isolated for a very long time. And these species that can't cross the prairie get isolated, and they begin to develop unique genetics. Okay, so there's been four petitions to list species in the Black Hills as a distinct population segment. The blackback woodpecker in 2012, the gypsy 2008, the frigid amber scale 2007 and 2003, the Oreo helix cooperi, the Black Hills mountain snail. We have heard the rumor that you are thinking of doing a population reintroduction for the lake chub. We request...
Sorry, Ms. Elling, your time has expired, so we're moving on to the next... speaker. Is Robin Lacey from Hot Springs available? Robin Lacey. Okay. Is there anyone else that has not already spoken who wishes to speak in the open forum that's on the line, on the Zoom line? Hearing no one, Chair, that concludes the open forum portion of our meeting.
Thank you, John.